This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take your guesses for Hugh's clues. You may need a third clue after this segment. We'll get to our daily mock at 1 o'clock, and we will acknowledge you people coming up later in the show. You people, Douglas, almost made it all the way, almost won the whole thing. Hugh, has your life been different after the bracket, after the reveal yesterday that I told you so is a national champion now?
Nah, not really. No. We're trying to schedule this trip to one of these amusement parks. Probably go to Hershey because it's closer.
You're celebrating Hershey Park?
Go to Hershey, probably at Hershey Park. Get some chocolates.
You going to go on a roller coaster?
Definitely not getting on a roller coaster.
When's the last time you were on a roller coaster?
You know what's funny? Like, Hollis was trying to get me to go to that one of those establishments.
Hollis goes on roller coasters?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he tried to get me to go to one of them establishments.
That didn't work out?
Establishment?
You talking about an amusement park or something different?
The shoe modeling space.
Ah, I got you.
I'm looking at a three.
All right, from there, let's go to our guest in studio, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seed. That's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. Elliott, how we doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
How you doing?
There's a lot going on.
I got a favorite, Hugh. I got two of them, maybe. I don't know if either of these were on the bracket, actually.
Oh, well, we have next year's bracketology up already. So
one is 5 shots of Honey Jack at the airport, Hugh.
Oh.
Not many have gotten to know, but I got to know well.
Five.
On our trip to Kansas
City.
That's
quite a few.
Yeah. The other one, and I think this one should have won, Hugh singing Crazy. I think it's by CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Hugh clip.
Songbird Hugh made it out of the first round.
Yeah. I think it must have, right?
Yep. Yeah. Living in this big blue world.
This is good.
No, Honey Jack hits the spot.
It does. Get you going for the flight.
Well, yeah.
That was a long day.
Yeah, and normally it helps with the anxiety that you have when you go on these trips, man.
Yeah.
So it helps with the anxiety.
Yeah, when I was listening back to One Shining Hugh yesterday, it reminded me of when you almost didn't make it out of Florida. That's one of my he was not in a good way, and he couldn't.
Is this for the spring training trip?
Yeah, he almost made it to get home. Yeah, if the lady didn't help him at the kiosk,
we
were
leaving.
She
was like, "No, we got you, we got you, I got you." And I was like,
"There you go."
Yeah, because I was not functioning correctly at that moment.
Or correctly, depending how you
it happens.
At it,
you know? It does. All right, Elliott, we are, 15 days away from the NFL draft? It's pick number 32. All right, Elliott, as you go through this here, what do you think their biggest need is? So Ray was on yesterday with the morning show and going over what he thought their biggest needs were. What do you think the biggest need is as we enter the draft?
So I think the biggest need on the roster is safety. I think you could argue the biggest need long term, which is maybe how you should view the draft, would probably be defensive tackle. But at 32, if I could pick one player in this draft outside of Abdul Carter, who is just not realistic, but if I could pick one player in the draft to put on the roster, for me, it would be Malachi Starks. I think he fills an obvious
That's
need
the Georgia
for him.
Kid, right?
The Georgia safety, yeah. Fills an obvious need for him. But also, I think has a very high floor. I think he could come onto the Eagles next year and be an impact player right away. So when I look at the needs on this team, safety is there because Sidney Brown's extremely unproven. I know that he has potential, and there's a lot to like about his game. He's a hard hitter. He plays with intensity. I do think he trusts his instincts maybe a little too much sometimes, which causes him to give up big plays, or to miss tackles. But safety would be number one. But I do think, as much as I like Moro Ojomo, and I do think he'll have a good year, it's critical that they have a pass rushing defensive tackle to put next to Jalen Carter. Because if they don't, like, it's going to really limit his ability to impact the game.
When you look at their depth chart right now, and I know it's just the, you know, ESPN website depth chart, there's not even a person behind Ojomo on the depth chart. Like, there's nobody there.
I mean, yeah, it's Jordan Davis, who I think improved last year. Like, I feel better about Jordan Davis sitting here today than I did this time last year. But even in the improvements he's made, he is not an impact pass rusher. Moro Ojomo does have really good pass rushing stats. Now, he doesn't have a career sack. That's not great after 2 years.
More like the pass rush win rate type of stuff.
Yeah, he wins a lot of those. He gets hurries. All those are true. But they have to add or find somebody that on passing downs, you feel really confident can be out there and make an impact. Because this defense, they have a lot of talent, but they're so dependent on Jalen Carter. I mean, you could make an argument.
Oh, yeah. He's the straw that stirs the drink, no question.
Because for a bunch of reasons, A, he makes everyone on the defensive line better. And as good as the secondary players are, like, Jalen Carter helps them as well. I would argue if they could pick one player not to lose to a season-ending injury next year, it would probably be Jalen Carter.
Yeah, there's a fair point. He might be their most indispensable.
Saquon's there. Jalen Hurts is there.
Obviously, the quarterback.
But there's so much talent on offense that I think that, like, losing Jalen Carter would be massive.
They could be a bad defense if he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he has that type of impact. So it's important they find a player next to him that allows him to be the best version of himself.
All right, you mentioned safety. Let's listen to this. Justin Simmons, a free agent. He has connection, obviously, to Fangio all those years where Simmons was one of the better safeties in the league in Denver. He went to Atlanta last year, and now he's a free agent again. It sure sounds like he thinks he could end up here. Justin Simmons, free agent, and he was on with Kay Adams yesterday. And he talked about being, picking where he goes and talking about ending up as a Philadelphia Eagle. Here's Justin Simmons.
Sorry. This is totally on me.
The Eagles, though, I mean, how much does the connection with Fangio and Christian Parker, by the way, the DBs coach, how much does that help and tilt the scale a little bit? Be honest.
Yeah, it really does. Like, as honest as I can be, like, I'm a lot of it too, going back to your question earlier about Atlanta, like, there was a lot of new, right? There's a new system. There's a new way to do it. Like, going to Philly with Vic, you know exactly what you're getting out of me. And I know exactly what I'm getting out of them because I've been in the system. I still have a ways to go to mastering it, but there's some things and nuances that I know that Vic likes, that I know that Christian Parker likes. And I think I could really help in that area. Obviously them moving on from CJ and what he's poured into that city there is big shoes to fill, but I love what they have going on with Blankenship and the rest of the supporting cast there. And so, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm excited to see what happens.
He almost talks as if it's going to happen. Like, he's putting himself here before he's here.
So
trying to speak it into existence.
Yeah. What do you think about where, so Simmons is on the wrong side of 30 and he just played 1 year and now he's again a free agent. What do you think about that fit?
So as a player, I think it's a good fit. And if you want to talk about what they're losing with Chauncey, the player, as opposed to the person, Chauncey does create turnovers. Mm-hmm. Justin Simmons does create turnovers. If you look at his time in the NFL, he has consistently produced multiple turnover seasons. So there's that fit. My thing with Justin Simmons is twofold. One, I think if they wanted Justin Simmons, they would have had Justin Simmons already. You could have had him last offseason. I'm sure he wasn't super expensive to acquire at the deadline. I know they had Chauncey and they weren't going to do that, but they have had times where they could acquire him and they have not. But the other thing is, I think they have sold a message, and it's a message I agree with, but like, of let's give the young guys a shot, that it would be pretty hypocritical to be like, let's give Sidney a chance. Let's see how Jalix Hunt can do. Let's look at Kenyon Green. And then to sign someone in Justin Simmons, who clearly is coming here to start. Like, Justin Simmons is not going to be playing special teams as a backup. So I think in terms of the chances he could be here, I think Sidney gets OTAs. And if Sidney's a disaster in OTAs, then maybe they bring Justin Simmons in. But I do think they are going to give these young guys a chance to earn the job before they go out and sign somebody or trade for somebody that would be a clear-cut starter.
So if they had interest in Simmons, they'd have to hope he stays in the free agent market until the summer.
Yeah, now if I remember correctly, he didn't sign until late last year, right? Wasn't even in training camp. Signed with the Falcons. So it's pretty clear he wants to play here, and I don't blame him. I mean, if I were him, coming to the Philadelphia Eagles is a pretty sweet job for him. He knows the coordinator. He's a good chance of winning a Super Bowl. But I think the Eagles probably know that too, and I don't think they're in a rush to sign Justin Simmons.
All right, Elliot, let's get to, with you, what we were discussing earlier. So we do the mock draft every day at 1 o'clock, right? Daily mock at 1. And a few times in the last couple weeks, the Eagles have drafted a wide receiver at 32.
Yeah.
I feel like every year we have some sort of variation of this conversation. But now this year, coming off of all the defensive players they lost and how they didn't throw the ball that much last year, what's your take if they take a wide receiver at 32?
So with all the normal caveats of you don't know who's on the board, all that, right? Like, I'd be fine with them taking a receiver at number 32. I think for a couple reasons. A, we can say they don't pass the ball a ton, and I get that. But, like, I don't know if that's going to be a formula for success next year. I think they are going to have to throw it more. And when they threw it last year, they were pretty good at it. So in the conference championship game and in the Super Bowl, they had to throw the ball. And the fact that they were able to do it is why they have a Super Bowl ring.
So I agree with that before you go on. But since Sirianni got here, Sirianni and Hurts, it doesn't matter who the number three is. They don't throw the ball to that guy.
No,
who was the guy from the Colts in 21 that came here?
He's with the Cardinals now. I can't think of his name.
Is it Pascal?
Yes, Pascal, yeah.
Quez Watkins, Pascal, Dotson, Zacchaeus. None of them get a lot of targets. So, like, to me, it's not so much if the player could play or can help. Is it worth the resource? Is he gonna get the ball more than 20 times
the
whole year?
Definitely not. Like, if you draft a guy at 32, he is not going to put up big numbers.
That's what I mean.
But I think the benefit of drafting a guy at 32 is twofold. One, it is an extremely expensive insurance policy against AJ or Devontae going
down.
That's
true.
And you could argue that's money well spent when the Eagles are in like a situation where they have a lot of, they have like, they're going to be throwing the ball. And if they go down, he's a key player. I think it's worth paying that insurance policy. But two, if you draft this guy and he's awesome, it does give you roster flexibility a year from now.
I agree with that.
To move on from AJ, I think they would move on from AJ before they'd move on from Devontae. But if you want to move on from one of these high paid receivers, it gives you that flexibility.
All right, let's play with that conversation because someone just brought that up, a caller. Do you think, and leave Devontae out, do we think AJ would handle this well?
If they drafted a receiver,
if they drafted
a
receiver, well, I mean, he could.
So you're saying if they draft a receiver 32, how would AJ handle it?
I mean, he could discern what you said as simply as you could. They might get rid of me in a year. This is you said it earlier. This might be my replacement. So is he going to handle that all right?
I think he would because, and you know, look, I've not spoken clearly to AJ about this. This is just me guessing.
Yeah, your guess.
I think AJ likes it here in Philadelphia. He loves being in the. AJ's already been traded. So he's been paid. He has a Super Bowl ring. I think if they drafted a guy at 32 and AJ thought maybe I'm traded in a year, I'm sure he wouldn't like that. But I think AJ's well aware of the business of it. And I also think from my experience of talking to teammates of AJ's, he's such a good teammate. I can't picture him, you know, icing the rookie receiver out or anything like that. So, you know, if a year from now, if he gets traded to the Patriots, is AJ going to be heartbroken? I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would ice the receiver out. He seems like a good teammate with his guys. Last year, they had the best team we've ever seen them have, and he's reading a book on the sidelines. He's not getting the ball.
Yeah, but the book thing is, that is nothing.
No, but he was obviously trying to channel his emotions, right?
Yes,
and that's what he did.
Yes,
so now we're going to add another player to his position and throw the ball to that guy. I don't think he's going to be happy.
Well, first of all, I don't know if that guy's going to get the ball thrown to him.
Well, then we shouldn't draft him.
No, but the point I'm making is if the best player on their board at 32 is a receiver, then I think you have to take that player. I wouldn't take AJ into consideration here other than it does give you roster flexibility. A year from now, you have an option.
You guys are troublemakers. Is what you're
talking
about?
No, because he has vision. He has vision.
Right. Vision, yeah.
And that's what it is.
The other thing
we have no defensive players besides like five.
One. They have a lot of really good defensive
players.
How many defensive players can you count on their production right now? Carter.
Bond.
Quinyon Cooper.
Reed Blankenship.
I guess.
Absolutely. You can absolutely count on really good starting safety play from Reed Blankenship.
Pretty good starting
Bryce
safety.
Huff going.
No, I think really good. I think Reed's a really good starting safety. Yeah, and then there's Bryce Huff.
All right, so we got to Reed.
And Nolan.
I think Nolan's coming off a major injury.
No, Nolan Smith.
Oh, sorry. Well, he is too, actually. He's coming off of the...
Yeah, coming off the
tricep.
Arm.
I think we've learned in the past year the tricep's not a major injury. It was a rough year for the stock of the tricep. No, like, everybody played on it.
But wait, but...
BG played on it, Nolan played on it.
It does change his offseason, though. Nolan Smith is not in the gym lifting right now. He's rehabbing an injury. It changes his offseason.
But he's probably here rehabbing, though.
I'm sure he is. I'm
not concerned about the recovery.
Watching a lot of film.
To be clear, I jumped the gun. I thought you said N'Kobe.
Oh, yes.
N'Kobe's coming off a major injury.
Yeah, yeah. No. Right, so we're
so
up to...
So Nolan, I agree with
if
you.
If we say Nolan, that's six. I mean, but to be fair, how many teams can you go on and say over half the starters you know you're going to get high level play from?
Well, probably not many, but
that's the point.
But
I'm making.
The Eagles were the best defense last year, and now we're unsure about half.
But who did they lose? They lost Darius Slay, Chauncey. So that's two.
Sweat Milton.
Milton was a good player for them. I think Milton's loss is being overstated a little bit.
Now,
like, Milton was a really good player, for sure. But let's not act like throughout the year we were singing Milton's praises of how much he was helping the defense.
We probably didn't do it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness.
For a reason. I mean, he is a rotational defensive tackle.
No, so I understand your point. But we're now, in this conversation about the receiver, we're going to take their best resource the whole offseason, because they didn't spend any money,
You're right.
And use it on not replacing any of those guys.
But
it just feels like it's illogical.
But I think that's a flawed way to look at it.
Well, are they trying to win the Super Bowl next year, or they build in a team for 3 years from
but
now.
But I think that's also a flawed way to look at it.
Well,
I think
which
when you draft, you have to take the best player. If you get into like, well, we have a need here, or we've spent too much on the offense, like, that is how you miss. Like with Jalen Reagor, the miss of Jalen Reagor was in part because they went into that draft wanting a specific type of player. They wanted someone that could do what Jalen Reagor did, and obviously Reagor was not able to do that. So if they're sitting at 32 and they go, well, we can only count on six of our defensive starters, like, that's how you end up drafting someone that is not equipped to be that 32nd pick.
So while I agree with your premise, we all know that's not how this works. If the best player on the board's a quarterback, they're not taking a quarterback at the first round.
Yeah, but that's an extreme example.
But you just said best player.
Right, but we know that there's a difference there.
I know, but why? Yeah. But there could be a difference in offense, defense.
But the difference is the quarterback will not play. Like, I mean, barring injury, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you take a receiver, now I don't think he's going to get the ball a ton, but he at least can be out on the field, with right? So I just think, I get your point. I do think you're understating the talent on the defense, though. So a flaw in your whole point is that there is talent on the defense. But it's
a thin defense. It's gone from a deep defense.
I don't even know if that's true, though.
We just said we don't even know who Ajomo's backup is.
How many teams...
Ajomo, who didn't play much last year, we don't know who his backup is.
How many teams can field a defense with better players than Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean? Like, there is elite talent on that defense. You're right, the backup defensive tackle isn't great, but how many teams have a great backup defensive tackle?
Well, but hold on. That's backups.
But you're setting
I don't
them,
even know who their starters
so he's
are.
Setting the bar high.
Yeah, you're setting the bar, high. I think, unrealistically high. We're not going to see many teams with
I'm
the depth that
guy,
the Eagles
the
had last year.
I agree, but I'd like to replace some of that with their first round pick.
But if you
reach for a defensive guy, that's how you end up with a miss.
Well, Howie could also trade up. I mean, you've mentioned this. Like,
I think they're more likely to trade up than out.
Okay.
Proud of him, though. Proud
because
of him.
Because he agrees with your offensive nonsense.
I'm just saying it ain't even about him agreeing
nonsense.
With me.
Right.
We don't agree all the time.
No.
I'm just proud because he's grown right before our eyes.
Exactly.
Aren't you proud of him?
Well, I am. He's the Eagles
inside
of the
year.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
they
he had my
the
vote.
Belt from me.
Who stripped the belt?
Well, I won the belt, the WIP belt. I was correctly given the belt.
That was messed up.
Yeah,
I heard
and then
that,
they just gave it to Ike.
Not cool.
They gave Ike the belt.
Yeah.
What?
Like,
why?
Again, I'm an Ike guy. Ike makes great points, but I was the one that held Sean McDermott's feet to the fire.
You did.
He the one that did that.
And I did that for the city of Philadelphia.
He did it for the city. He put on for the city.
Yes, for the team, for the fans.
I can't
put
even
on
believe
for
McDermott's from here. He's a joke at
he's
this
a lame.
Point.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's a lame.
All right, Elliot, before we say goodbye, give me a name.
I have a draft hypothetical for you, actually.
Oh, you do that.
Would you trade every single pick that the Eagles own in this year's draft for Abdul Carter?
Everyone?
Yeah, so the first, the second, the third, the fourth, all the fives.
Not everyone, though?
Every pick. So you leave the draft with only Abdul Carter.
Hugh?
I tell you what.
That's a yes.
No, because see, here's the thing.
He's getting a long talk through it.
Bryce is not happy right now.
No, here's the thing. Aaron Maben came from Penn State, too. He wore number 11. Like, he's the outlier, because I think of LeVar Arrington.
Micah. Yep.
And him. But Aaron Maben's the outlier.
So you're afraid he might not be all that?
But no, because I remember Aaron Maben got drafted, and he they when you look at all of them, similar body types. He's the outlier.
Right.
So, no, you wouldn't do it.
No, I think he's I think he's saying yes.
No, well, no, he's saying he's.
But if he's that, if that player is the outlier, right. then more likely than not, you're
yes or no? Would you trade it all for Abdul?
Not all. I'm not all in the eggs in one basket guy.
Yes,
I would do it.
I would do it too.
You're really only talking about the first two picks because, like, all these fives, you know, like they're just complete throws.
Could
in the
we dark. Get could we get Sirianni and him on the cover of a magazine? One's wearing a wedding dress.
And Ricky Williams. Yeah. It is crazy.
See,
the only two times it's ever happened was for a
put on a
back.
Wedding dress. I would not like that. That means he's prostituting himself.
He would not do the trade.
Yeah, definitely not. If you put on a wedding
I'm in. I would trade it all for Abdul.
Do you think the top four team would take that? I think there's something about every pick that adds to more of the value than what they're actually worth.
Right. It's not just 1, 2, 3, and 5. It's the whole
draft. Yeah, it's
like
you get all the picks. Like, everyone's like, oh, how can I say no to that?
Well, I don't know who would do it. I mean, the Giants should do it.
Yeah, the Giants should do it.
Right. They're years away from being relevant.
Honestly, the Patriots should do it. Like, if you're in the top five, if you're not taking a quarterback, like.
The Browns should do it.
Yeah, of course.
The Browns are terrible.
The Browns taking Travis Hunter would be a massive mistake, by the way. He is not somebody in my opinion.
He's awesome.
He is, whatever you think of him, he is not someone that is going to go and contribute, in my opinion, to a losing team.
Wait a second.
Like, he needs players around him. He needs smart coaches.
Agreed. But you are a guy that fancies himself as a potential GM, right?
Yeah, and I would not take Travis Hunter.
But I think you're missing the ultimate roster value he brings. It's two players in one.
First of all, he's not two players in one.
I think he is.
He is not going to play both sides of the football.
But he could.
We think. And my biggest concern with Travis, he did it in Colorado in college. A lot of people do things in college they don't do in the NFL.
But no one does this. I mean, this is pretty rare.
But I would rather have someone that's great at one thing than, like, really good at two things. Like, I think in the NFL,
if he's a star corner and a good receiver, he's instantly one of the most valuable players in the league.
In my opinion, he will not play both sides of the ball effectively.
Why?
I just think it's impossible to do.
They said this about Shohei Ohtani. Look at him.
What meeting room are you in throughout the week? What positional things are you practicing? What game plan are you learning?
Well, he'd have
twice
to,
all that on his plate.
He'd have to do one as full time and the other one as a part time.
Right. So you're not really getting two players. You're getting one player and someone that takes a few snaps on offense.
But wait. But what if he is a star corner and your slot receiver?
He can't be your slot receiver.
He can.
He's going to learn the offense and defensive playbook. He's going to practice with both units. He's going to be in both meeting rooms.
I'm just saying, if I had a bad team, I would take the shot on him.
Because I would absolutely not. If I was him, he will only succeed on a great team that can use him properly.
Then the Eagles should trade up for him.
Look, he would be awesome on the Eagles because they're a smart team that doesn't really have many holes. But to go on a top five team, I think it is a waste of a draft pick.
You in on Travis Hunter, Hugh? I think he's awesome.
I think, like, to Elliot's point, what is he going to play? Because you're talking about two different needs.
How much do you think the during the week thing matters that I brought up? Like, what meeting room is he in?
I think if you were asking me and I'm the coach, he's probably going to be more corner.
I think he's a corner that's going to play some
more
receiver.
But as a
receiver.
Former player, my question is, like, you play defensive end. What if you also played fullback? Like, how hard would it be to, you're in the meeting. Now, fullback's not a hard position, but, like, you know.
Wow, just a shot at Richie. Live on the air.
I mean, it is because you have to know.
I'm kidding.
But you got to know, you have to know the formations. You have to know the check downs.
Right.
You have to know all that. That's a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're a slot receiver, you can say it's not a big role because you're the three, but you still have to know the entire
playbook.
Yeah,
you got to know
all the checks. You have to be in the meetings throughout the week. You have to practice with the quarterback.
I've seen a lot of third Eagles receivers that he can't do what Olamide Zaccheaus did last 2 years ago here. Or
I think it's
Watkins.
Harder to do. It's not about the production. It's about learning everything he would have to do.
Right, but in this offense or a lot of offenses, the third receiver sometimes is just there to kind of run a fly pattern down the field. Like, he's not the primary guy. I agree with you. I don't think he's a primary corner and receiver. That feels impossible.
But then he's not two guys. Like, you're really just talking about filling up a role that we agree is not important. Like, I don't think when people talk about Travis Hunter, they don't say you're going to get Quinyon Mitchell and Olamide Zaccheaus.
Well, no, but to me, it is important. You guys want to use a first-round pick on a third receiver.
I want to use a first-round pick on a receiver to be a quality backup in case someone goes down.
All right, well, we'll see. Yeah. I'm a Hunter guy. You're obviously.
Well, I'm just letting you know, when I'm GM, I'm not drafting.
Well,
Travis
you're missing
unless
out.
I'm 25 plus, like 25th.
This guy's good. This guy might be the best player in the draft.
We'll see. I'm not convinced.
All right, I am with you on Abdul. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. You clearly have your draft season hat on. You're ready.
I'm ready.
Go.
Yeah, I'm excited for draft night.
Well, I am too. It's going to be fun. All right, 215-592-9490 for Elliot. We appreciate it. All right, when we come back, another clue for Hughes Clues. You guys obviously need one. We'll get to a bit of recent MLB news that we didn't get to yet, and it does affect the Phillies in a big way now and moving forward. Your calls in the bullpen, is it a problem? A lot of people just want to rip Rojas today. I think Sosa takes a big part of what happened in the outfield last night. And, of course, a receiver, 32. Would you do it? No, they should not do it. They should draft a defense player. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
1-0. Swung on, hit deep. Right field, and forget about it. Kyle Schwarber deposits one off the chop house. His fifth home run of the season. A laser shot off of Chris Sale.
Boom! What a shot from Schwarber last night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, so last night was frustrating for a lot of reasons. The bullpen, the defense at center field with the ball that dropped between Sosa and Rojas. But, Hugh, one guy that was not frustrating last night. How about three hits in three at-bats? Also a walk. Nearly had a cycle. That would be Kyle. He crushed that ball off of Chris Sale. My goodness. It's rare to see, especially a left-handed hitter, hit a ball off of Sale that hard and that far. That was a missile to the chop house, Hugh.
116 miles Woo. Per hour. And somebody said it left a dent in the concrete.
Good.
Yeah, it was pretty. That was pretty exciting, man. That was pretty phenomenal to see.
And he's off to an outrageous start. So
yeah,
Schwarber,
with five homies.
Mm-hmm. And he obviously hasn't been affected by leadoff, cleanup, cleanup, leadoff. He's hitting .324, an OPS of over 1,200 right now. He's off to an all-star MVP-ish kind of start so far this season. But, Hugh, there was some news in baseball a couple days ago that does – it impacts this whole Schwarber thing. And you referenced, I think, yesterday, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Got paid. He got 500 yams.
Yep.
14 years.
Mm. And now he's young, so I get it. I mean, Soto got a million years, and Turner got a million years. These guys get a lot of years now. But he got $500 million. And, Hugh, when I saw that, you know what I thought about? The Phillies and their chances to sign Kyle Schwarber, because they didn't do it before the season, right? He's a free agent to be.
The price of the brick went up.
It just went up. And here's what, like, if I'm the Phillies, I'm trying to get this done now, because if we're fast forwarding to free agency next year, there's probably 10 teams that wanted a bid on Guerrero that want a power bat in their lineup, a slugger.
Yeah.
Well, he's off the board. So
now it's on Schwarber.
That's right. So those 10 teams are going to now, I imagine, like, I don't know, seven of them would pivot and say, all right, well, the best slugger available is Kyle Schwarber. That, to me, the Guerrero thing makes it more challenging for the Phillies if they let him get to free agency. I don't want it to get to free agency.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this the other day when I was watching the game because of Marcell Ozuna. Marcell, mm-hmm. We all know when I was in Atlanta, Marcell had a lot. He had, a turbulent time down there.
That's a fair way to put it.
And I was thinking when he hit that home run, well, he almost hit a home run that Sosa robbed from him. I was like, man, he really weathered the storm. And that just shows you how much those power bats are coveted in Major League Baseball. So I was thinking, to your point, when I was talking to the guys yesterday, they were talking about, Kyle Schwarber being on a contract. I was like, no, he's not on the contract. And with Vlad getting what he got, $300 million, that's the starting point, I would think.
So I don't know how many years that that Schwarber's going to get, but he's going to get a raise. I mean, the contract he's with right now on the Phillies, it was 4 years, $79 million. So that's a little less than 20 per year. He's getting more than that.
Yeah.
I think
about 150 to 3.
I think he's going to ask for $30 million a year. And the question is, how many years do they want to give him on a contract?
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Hitting home runs and getting money?
Well, yeah, it ain't that fast, because I still think I could beat him in a race.
You could not, no.
And to get
that
kind
knee
of bread,
fixed, Hugh,
man, I should have played baseball, man. That's what I should have did.
You think you could have been good?
I think I'd have been a power hitter, no question. I could have been a power hitter.
Yeah, I didn't think you would slap singles.
Yeah, I would probably be in the AL back in the day, though.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't play a position. What, first base? I could probably be a first baseman.
You wouldn't even bring a glove to the park.
I'd be a first baseman. But no, I was thinking about that and how important he is to this lineup. And to your point, versatile, can put him anywhere, and it doesn't faze him. So yeah, 300, at least 300.
I think they could get him for 4-120, 30 a year.
4-120,
because he's older. I mean,
well, that's what I was thinking too. But how old is Vlad?
26.
26. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah,
500 million.
So his contract goes till he's about 40, Vlad.
When I would say we're probably if I'm Schwarber.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be in the $150 million
So
ballpark.
That's 5 years, 150, something like that.
Yeah.
Would you do that right now? If you were the Phillies and Schwarber's agent came to you today and said 5-150, now you're obviously going deep into his 30s, right? He's 32 right now.
Yeah, so you're talking about 36?
Uh-huh, 36, 37 at the end of the deal.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. because you have a unique skill set that ain't a whole lot of people can do that.
Well, and they don't have a replace. You know, we talk about their prospects. They have
nobody in the pipeline.
I mean, there's not many hitters like Kyle Schwarber anyway out there that you could just plug in. But there's, you know, they have a center fielder on the way. They have a shortstop / third baseman in Aiden Miller on the way. They have a starting pitcher on the way.
Yeah, but that yam he got with that bat though, yeah, that's bananas.
He's 150. He's been a great Philly, and I want to keep him here, and I. The movement needs to start to sign Schwarber. Get this done during the season. Because if he hits the free agency,
he's going to get stupid bread.
Well, that's the problem. And then what if someone says, we don't care about the years. We'll give you 7 years. Then the Phillies have to make that decision. Like, do we really
want to get him that many years?
Until he's 39, then we got all these old guys 5 years from now. I think everyone listening wants Schwarber back. The question is years and money and if he gets the free agency. I'm telling you, the Vlad thing makes it harder. Because if Vlad was a free agent and Schwarber, everyone would be kind of invested in the Vlad, right? All the teams would be chasing
him.
And
he would have to get what he could get.
Yeah, you're right. He's 26. He's the top guy. But once he's off the market, it's like, if you need a big bat next offseason, you're going to want Schwarber. They got to get this done. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. All your phone calls. The bullpen. A receiver at 32. These guys are crazy. Your thought on the Sosa and Rojas situation last night. And, of course, this segment sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squealer grinding? Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you, Meineke.com. All right, Hugh, before we take these calls, why don't you give everyone a third clue?
Because they need a third clue?
2.5 hours in, your first two clues fell flat.
That was some good clues, though, man. Mm-hmm. People aren't thinking of that.
Okay. All right. Well, they need help.
This one's a good clue.
Okay.
This upcoming weekend made me think of this person.
All right, so he's your favorite sports figure, unique sense of fashion, and this upcoming weekend made you think of him.
Yeah.
All right, there are your three clues. $100 gift card on the line here to Sunoco. Ron and Monco's up. Hey, Ron.
Yo.
Ron.
Michael Jordan. Snap, what I win.
You didn't win. It's not it. It's a pretty good guess.
Good guess though.
It's not. It's a pretty good guess, but it's not Michael Jordan.
Well, golf, North Carolina, dresses like a golf player.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
I mean,
you know what, Ron? I appreciate you listening to the clues, though.
Of Hugh's cranium deep in that. You know, this game is terrible.
I feel like it's easy.
I sat it for 50 minutes waiting to say that.
I feel like it's easy, though. I feel like
it's easy for you because it's inside your coconut.
That's true. It is.
Yeah, well, you got
a point. Yeah. Hey, so anyway, listen, I gotta straighten something out. And you know what? I thought because I keep asking myself, why does Kyle keep saying that I said that the Phillies pitcher was what I was worried about? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I
because you did
because I'm sitting here. Okay,
you talking
Kyle,
about?
Let me finish, Kyle.
You have short-term memory.
Yeah.
Kyle, let me finish, then you can carpet bomb me, okay?
You asked me a question.
No.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing.
I think it was rhetorical.
There's more to it. Hmm. There's more to it. Listen, when I said that was before the season started back in February, 2 years ago. Who told me who knew?
Oh, it was before last season, Ron. It was before last season.
I'm talking 2 seasons ago.
No, but that's not what happened.
Let him go.
Let him cook.
Let me finish,
he's,
Kyle.
He's not
cook
cooking.
On.
You're burning.
I said it before the season started. We had 1.5 pitchers. We had Wheeler and Noah. We didn't know what the other three
what
were going to end up
about,
being.
Dude?
You know? So anyway.
Well, I mean, to Dolan.
You're a genius.
Even if that's when it was. I mean, Ron, Nola was coming off a top 5 Cy Young finish in 22. So I mean,
Nola sucks, yo. Noah sucks.
Well,
hold on.
But the team doesn't suck. The bullpen sucks.
Team. Okay, listen. You know what this team is? Mm-mm. You ever played Jenga drunk?
I don't know if I have.
That's,
I mean, maybe.
Jenga drunk. That's the Phillies. This team is so discombobulated the way it's built, the way it's set up. You can't pull one piece out of place. The whole thing falls apart. You got two center fielders that can't play. You got two catchers that can't hit. Okay, you got a shortstop that can't make a hard play anymore. I mean, this team is just a house of cards. So don't get all turned up on it because it's just going to fall apart.
What do you think about that bullpen last night, Ron?
You know what? I went to bed 5-5. I said they're going to lose, and I rolled over and started snoring. And sure as heck, they lost. And see, listen, this team is a disaster. Okay, and you know what? Here's Schwarber goodbye. because when Guerrero signed that contract, the price of poker went through the stratosphere. Schwarber's going to want 3+.
Well, I don't think he's getting 3+ at his age.
Well,
but he's
going to get a lot of money, man.
He sure is.
He hits 40 to 45 home runs consistently. And you know what? I didn't want him back, but I started getting soft on him.
Well, fine. It's about time, Ron. It's about time. You're right. He's one of the few players here we could count on.
Well, yeah, but guess what? You don't have anything. Everything else is nothing. There's a lot of air. There's a lot of air, dude. I mean, nobody is really doing anything on this team that, come on, look at the outfield. Why do they keep putting Marsh out there? Why did they not do anything?
Your guess is good as mine.
I'll tell you why, Joe. The
Marsh thing is literally the definition of insanity.
It's Rojas too.
Well, he stinks.
Joe, let me tell you something, Joe. Everybody keeps wondering why they don't do nothing in at the end of the season to trade. Okay, they cut Dombrowski off, and they didn't let him improve on this team because they said, "Dude, you spent the money.
Dude.
This is your baby now." Okay, that's why.
I agree with you, but I agree. But at some point, Dombrowski's got to unearth a player we don't know about.
Dombrowski's done after this year. Heads are going to roll this. Listen, I'm sorry to say this, because Middleton seems like a nice guy, family guy, but Middleton don't know from blank to blank. He don't know nothing. He keeps listening to the wrong people. That's why who hires the GM, McPhail and Klintak, as your kickoff to run this franchise?
That was a mistake. Yeah, that didn't work out.
That's a mistake. Oh, that's a mistake. Okay, that's a 5-year mistake. And then what? And then Mickey Moniak's the best player in the stratosphere. This is just goes on and on and on.
That was 2016.
I can do
it's been a, while.
A better job in my sleep,
Joe. Stop.
He's on fire. He's on fire.
Oh, Ron, that's a good phone call. Ron was, sometimes I always think, like, if you parachuted in from outer space and you're listening, like, what's going on with the team? They're 7-3. And
they're super bad.
Have been in the playoffs 3 years in a row. I think they have some issues too. The bullpen's an issue. He's right about center field. I mean, regardless of your feelings on Rojas, Hugh, he's not the answer full time. And Marsh literally is the definition of insanity. Remember every spring for the past 3 years, we didn't even hit lefties. 2 weeks in, he didn't play last night against a lefty. Like the Phillies lie to themselves about Marsh every year, and then 2 weeks in, they're like, yeah, I guess we were wrong again. Like he's just blah.
You're just hoping for the best. Hoping for the best. It's getting to the point now where you might have to figure out some other things. You might have to move on.
From Brandon Marsh?
Yeah.
I'd move on, yeah. The problem is they don't have another option until Crawford is ready, and maybe he will be soon. Terrence in Springfield's up. Hey, Terrence.
Hugo Kyle, what's up?
Terrence, what's up?
Hey, I want to talk about this draft thing first. On the draft thing, I'm with you, Joe. I don't want to receive it because I feel like our biggest need right now is safety. And I don't care what nobody says. We're going to feel the impact. We're going to see the growing pains of losing CJ. Because there's a thing. Him and Blankenship, they've been playing together. Well, they missed it 1 year, but they had a continuity back there. They had they were familiar with each other back there. So we saw when Reed with another safety, we saw the non-communication. So we know when Reed and CJ play together, we know if they say, if the receiver does this, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? They probably had a thing they do to tell each other communication. This is going to be, to me, CJ's position is a major part to defense, I feel like, and I feel like defenses are going to exploit that. So I feel like we lost half of our defense, guys. And I feel like that's a big part right now. We have to focus on safety. So if Simmons wants to come here, man, bring him over here. Because right now, I don't know how he's doing. I hope Howie's right about losing CJ. I hope he's right. Because I feel like our defense is going to face a major growing pain at that safety spot. As for the Phillies, man, Joe, I texted you last night. I texted Kyle. I feel like we blew that game yesterday. Where was the energy we had? I feel like we had an emotional letdown yesterday coming off that Dodgers series. I want to see the same energy. Where was that at? Because to me, we don't have time to be doing experiments right now with Sosa in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for that. We don't. Our bullpen is shaky, as per usual, the last couple seasons. And to me, I feel like Topper. Like, our last four hitters in the lineup, Sosa didn't do nothing last night. I love Sosa, man. I love him. But I feel like we're putting too much on his plate right now. and put him in the outfield. Like, he has been one of our best players this season, but I feel like we're putting too much on his plate. And you look at the lineup yesterday, I feel like we absolutely let that game slip out of our hands. Look at the lineup. JT, no hit. Sosa, no hit. Scott, no hit. Marsh, no hit. I feel like yesterday we were top heavy. Where are we getting to contribute? Who's going to contribute in that bottom half of the lineup? So I feel like it's the same old thing, man, with these guys, man. I want to see you lock in because guess what? The Mets ain't going nowhere. The Mets is right in first place right now. And they're red hot once again. So what are you going to do, Phillies? You're going to lock in just when you play the Dodgers? No! Lock in when you're supposed to lock in. This Braves team is horrible. And you let these guys come back and y'all were sleepwalking yesterday. That was horrible to lose that game.
I love the passion, Terrence. And here's the thing. If you hit Sale like that, you should beat the Braves. I mean, like, Sale almost never gets hit like that. Schwarber crushed that ball off him. That's what frustrated me the most. Like, if you told me before yesterday they get shut out, like, all right, what are you going to do, right? Sale's great. He won the Cy Young last year. They hit Sale, and they still lost the game because the defense and the bullpen. And maybe you're right. Maybe a little emotional letdown after the Dodgers. All right, Terrence, what do you got for us? Give us a guess for Hughes Clue. Someone's got to get this.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say Charles Barkley.
Charles is a pretty good guess, too. I actually think the last few guesses are pretty good. Unfortunately, we're not there.
No. I got to turn my mic on.
Yeah, it's
no.
important.
No. It's not there. It's not Charles Barkley. I'm just surprised. I've given out a lot of hints.
Yeah, you have.
And people are still not catching biggest hint that I gave.
I think I figured out a problem with one of your hints.
What was that?
The wording of it, I think it has led people away from where they're supposed to go.
Well,
I think it's just that it might have been like an inference the way you worded something. I think people are – because when Ron gave his answer, he listed why, and he said something like, I could see why he didn't go to the obvious. People are avoiding the obvious and looking to go around the obvious.
I don't understand why, though, because I gave a big clue when we talked about all of these guesses that people have been guessing so far.
We haven't had one go into the 1 o'clock hour in a while. We might be there. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe and Kyle.
Hey, Joe.
Just that other caller that called is Ron. Tell him next time he goes out to the ballpark, just want to look at the numbers that have been taken off from the Phillies. And you'll see a number 36 out there. All right, and that was a little bit before my time when I started following the Phillies back in my Robin Roberts. Okay, he was the guy that was around the plate all the time.
So what did they do? They took these numbers away. Did they take the numbers away? Is that what you're saying, Joe?
But he had the most complete game.
Sure, he's a great pitcher. But what about Robin Roberts? They took his number away?
No. Oh. I said, look out there, and you'll see how they have his number hanging. That type of pitcher. Nola is a heck of a pitcher, okay? Everybody knocking about these home runs and steady gives up and stuff like that. Yeah, it's going to happen when you're around the plate.
It is.
Know?
I do think, Joe, I like Nola, but I do think he may be in the portion of his career where he's moving from a number two to more of a number three or four. We may be there.
Well, it doesn't matter. You need five starters. In reference to, I watched a little bit of the game, and then I had it on the radio. In the post game interview, they asked Sosa through his interpreter about, you know, was there any conversation between him and Rojas in the dugout after the play was over? He said Rojas told him, "Don't call for the ball so early." Okay, that he as soon as the ball went up, you know, you call for it when you're ready to closer to making the catch. That's what he said to the interpreter.
So Sosa Rojas said that to Sosa?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. You're not supposed to talk unless you have it.
And don't blame either one of them. Blame the man in the press box that runs this team. Listen, they have Kepler, okay? Now, again, he's only been there 10 games. So I'm willing to give him a better shot. Why are they taking him? Now, he's only hitting 170, all right? He's putting the ball in play more than what Austin Hayes did. He's got a few walks. And when Sosa and Stott, the 7, 8, 9 hitters, were producing behind Kepler,
he was scoring runs, but he's only hitting 170. Okay, so to put them out there in that situation, you know, coming into there, you know, you got to give Kepler a better shot, or then within the next couple months you do something. Same way with the pitching, Joe. I said this before. I wanted Ryan Presley, and on some of your hosts on there, Houston's not giving up Ryan Presley.
They did. He's in the Cubs. Yeah. He's a Cub now.
He's with the Cubs, right. And he's been in five games. I looked at his ERA. It's 5.40, but he's got three saves already with them. And that's the type of guy you need. You know, Taiwan Walker, he's going to have a tough time tonight because he pitched against the Rockies, right?
And I'm going to speak. I got something to say when he gets
there. Yeah, he's going to have a tough time because the Rockies did a lot of first pitch.
Hey, Joe, you're doing a lot of long talking. With all due respect, Joe, let this be the last time you walk into my space and not acknowledge me. You said Kyle and Joe.
I think he said hello.
He said hi.
Yeah, I didn't hear my name. And I give him my feelings.
I
will have Joe's back. Joe always hits all three of us.
Yeah, he does.
Walker's gonna have a hard time because when he gave up those three hits, those pitches were up, and Moniak and the catcher hit the ball off the wall on him. So he's got to be fine with his
He's got to pitch better tonight. Joe, we appreciate it. He's got to have to pitch. Well, he's got a lot to say there. He's blaming Nebraska.
He's got to add sensitive view to the bracket.
I didn't hear my name,
he
man.
Did you say, know,
I got to be on top of that.
I got to stick up for Joe.
You know what I mean? I got to be on top of that. Yeah. My bad, Joe. I mean, I got it. You know, we got, you know. That's one of them.
You let it slide until he said Taiwan's going to have a tough night tonight. And then it came back around.
You know what? Listen, full disclosure, I'm trying to work on my pettiness.
Yeah.
And
how's that going?
It's tough because a lot of times you hear things and you try to let them slide.
Yeah.
Or you don't hear things and you try to let them slide. But every now and then, you know. You get that, you know, that little devil on your shoulder get to talking, be like, hold up, dog, you can't let that go. You know, and my bad, Joe. I didn't hear it. So Kyle said you said it. Okay, so I apologize.
Yeah, I think he's good. All right, 215-592-9494. Final hour of the show coming up. We'll get to what we do every day at 1, the Daily Mock. Who are they taking today? He was on Benedict Douglas watch as well. Something he did yesterday that he thought we wouldn't know about, and we found out right away. You're calling the Phillies, the draft. Would you take a receiver at 32? And we still have to give away this prize for Hughes Clues. But how about this? Hugh, we got a double prize today. So we're still giving away the prize for Hughes Clues. So if you're on hold with a guest, we'll get to you and give you a chance to win the $100 gift card to Sunoco. They just gave us another one.
Seriously?
We got another $100 gift card to Sunoco. So we're going to give that away right now on the contest line. 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258. Caller number 2 to the contest line right now. We'll win a $100 gift card to Sunoco. And we still have the other one. Sports Radio 94 WIP FanDuel. In partnership with Valley Forge Casino is to give new customers an offer unlike any other for the first major at Augusta. Right now, new customers get $250 of bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. I always bet on Colin Morikawa. I'm going to do it again. You can bet on all these storylines, plus first-round leaders, top 20s, top 30s, three balls, tournament matchups, and so much more. Plus, you'll get paid instantly when you bring home a major win this major season. So don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green at Augusta. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.